You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. How dare you, Kevin? How dare you interrupt me? Anyway, thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Kevin.
I guess my name is now Raphael.
I threw you off, didn't I? I threw Kevin off so bad he didn't even know his own goddamn name.
And I'm Sad Donald.
Aww.
And I'm John Barbie.
Oh, he's here? What? Yeah. What? What?
The fabulous John Barbie's here?
Yes, he is. He is. He is. What are we talking about today? We're talking about something interesting, right?
Yes. I hope. Yes, we are. We are having a part two of Roasty or Toasty.
Oh, okay. That sounds nice.
They remember the last episode, you know, we're going over the top 10 from a certain particular app.
Yeah.
That always gives a hot 10, and we like to go over it and give our take on it. So let's look at this week's particular top 10, and we're going to roast or toast. So let us begin with number 10. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Sure.
I was born ready.
Do it.
Uncanny X-Men, number 130. This is, of course, the first appearance of Dazzler, part two in the Dark Phoenix saga. Also the second appearance of the lovely Kitty Pryde and the lovely Emma Frost. And the first full appearance of Sebastian Shaw, Kevin Bacon, the Black King. And also Jean Grey becomes the Black Queen of the Hellfire Club.
I think that's a little insensitive, calling them Black Kings.
You got to look at the context of this. Think of it as a chessboard piece.
Yeah, see?
I'm saying trash.
So roasting the shit out of it already.
What did Dazzler do to you, sir?
Look, she at no point has ever been a geek.
That's true.
That is true. But she uses disco music for her powers.
Look how cool she is, man. She's doing a dance to a groove.
No, I get that part. But I'm saying is that at what point did that book ever become hot? Like, what about that book makes you say top 10?
Probably back in the mid-80s when her solo series came out.
No, but I'm saying, but they're saying
that now.
And
she was in the X-Men.
How many times has that book come up in a short box, in a long box, on a table, on a wall, wherever, and you just go, cool book, but you moved on.
That's true. However, the issue before that, though, on the other hand, you would agree. Now, that's a nice one.
Is that on the list, though?
You know, it's funny. It should be, but it's not. 129.
What's 129? Let me see. Show me.
Patience, man. Patience.
God damn it. Does it have Dark Phoenix on the cover?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be some sort of criteria when it comes to being on the hot list.
No.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be like, you know, it has to be, it's got to be key character.
Incredible Hulk.
Possible being in a movie. You know, there has to be something that makes you say that book needs to be in my collection.
Where is it?
Right here. See?
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
So cool. I don't want that one.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You don't love Kitty Pryde? First appearance of Kitty Pryde, first appearance of Emma Frost, first appearance of the Hellfire Club.
That actually.
Dark Phoenix Saga Part 1.
That actually has a little teeth.
Yes.
Start of a saga.
Yes.
Got a couple other, but Dazzler, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to just say.
I feel like somebody wanted to just sell some. Like, they had a bunch of those books, and they're like, let's just sell them.
It makes you wonder if, when they make the list, are they trying to spark some kind of fire in
the
book?
Yes, of course.
What did you say?
It's artificial speculation, of course.
I don't know, but sometimes there's a book on there that, for sure, should be a top 10 book, but there's no reason to put it on there, like a Hulk one or whatever. And sometimes there's a book on there that they're just trying to spark a little flame, but every now and again there's a book, like, for me, you know, would have been a great book to be on there would have been first appearance of Black Panther, you know, maybe for Shuri, you know,
makes sense,
M'Baku. Those would have been great books to be on that show.
I see.
Yeah,
well, considering the context of, you know, the current movie Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and of course other matters,
or first Killmonger would have been great to be on that list.
I believe that's a jungle action number.
Well, it could nine, be six, though. Six, I mean, we haven't gone over the whole list, right? We're just at number 10.
Yes.
No, we're just saying. I'm just trying to prove that this.
He's making a point.
This is
this book is trash. Yeah. We officially roasted it.
And Raphael is a pious man, so if he says that this book should be roasted, then it shall be roasted. And now let us move on to number nine. And that is a book that I'm not sure if anyone at this table has. Batman Adventures number 12.
I have one. Come on.
I don't.
I have two of them, as a matter of fact.
Then why don't you give this young man one copy? Even if it's the crappier copy, make this man's Christmas
you
coming up.
You can set it in a box I'll just take it.
Batman Adventures 12.
Put it under my shirt.
For me, toasty, because it's a key book.
First appearance of Harley Quinn.
But she's already been in two different movies.
That's right.
She's been mentioned a bunch of times. There's no new spec surrounding Harley Quinn, right? So there's nothing more about that book other than the fact that it's just a solid book.
Yes, it is. And it's one of the few modern books of the last 30 years that will, as long as it's still planet Earth and still a hobby,
she's huge.
Will stand the test of time.
She's probably the biggest
blue chip modern blue chip book.
So, yeah, you know what? You're right. Well, between her and Deadpool and Miles Morales, you would be correct. She'd be number one.
She's
be number
the biggest one. Modern key.
Well, she is the biggest modern
creation anyway, right?
DC key.
Who's
the biggest modern Marvel key? That you would say Winter Soldier?
No.
No, it'd be between Deadpool and Miles Morales.
Now, I feel like Harley's got that.
No, we're talking about Marvel.
She's been around longer. She's been a ton of times.
I know that, but I'm saying, like, as far as, like, popularity, I feel like she's still got it.
Absolutely. She does. Absolutely. But I don't think there's any.
How do people cosplay as her?
A lot of people love her outside of the comic book collecting world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But my question is it a blue chip book?
Yes.
I mean, if a 9.8, I would say it's...
It's got at the very least, it's got the makings of one.
Right. It's got really good potential, really good heat behind it. Mm-hmm. I would say this is nice and toasty.
Toasty.
Yeah.
Like a marshmallow on a granola
cracker.
A nice mid-brown toasted bread.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Although I do feel like this should be higher on the list. I don't know. Like hot pasta.
Well, this shows you... You got Dazzler, and then you go to first Harley Quinn. Come on.
It's silly, I know.
Yeah.
Number 8, this is going to be a little controversial because I don't understand why it's even on the list right now. This was a hot book about literally almost 6 years ago when the movie Logan was out.
Oh, Christ.
And that's NYX number 3.
Nope.
Well, the key is this. It's a top 10 book because they're assuming that when Wolverine is in the Deadpool book.
In the MCU.
He's an MCU. He's an older-ish Wolverine. Which means we may see her in that film as that it because it's in the era of when he would have where she'd be around.
X-23 can make an appearance.
Correct. That's what they're saying.
And with the multiverse saga as it's called, it's possible.
What they're saying is the Wolverine that Hugh Jackman is going to play in Deadpool will be an older Wolverine, so that she would be around.
Old man Logan.
Yeah. So that's why they believe that. She may not be in this one. She may make a cameo, or they may be mention of her in it, which makes this book kind of go up. And this is a book that I think a lot of people really, really want to have in their collection. I don't have one because I didn't see a need for it for me, but I've seen a lot of people that do pick this book up on occasion.
Well, the original Donald did away with his. He had his, and he got rid of it and sold it for a whopping, what was it, sir? How much was it? $475 or something?
$475.
That was the retail price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The price was right for you, wasn't it?
It really was. It was an eBay purchase, I believe.
Did you say you purchased it for like a golden age price?
No, I bought it for 10 cents.
Wow.
My local comic book shop back in Ohio, they used to have a 10 cent box. And they would throw all their overstock in the 10 cent box just so they can get it out. They didn't want it, you know, and they were like, there's no value to this. They'd put like dollar boxes and shit like that, but it's such a small town. That there wasn't a ton of collectors, so the only way they could really move it is if they marked it down to super cheap. So I just picked it up on a whim, like for 10 cents, and hung onto it for no reason whatsoever.
They only had one overstock, huh?
Well, they had a couple overstock boxes.
No, one copy of that book.
Oh, I don't know. They might have had more, but at the time, why would I buy more than one? It wasn't in anything book, you know?
Similar to New Mutants 98. Remember at the Shrine years ago, there was a guy that had a whole box of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do we know? We know now we could just bought the whole box.
I know.
We'd be paying for your child's college education right now.
I have a child.
You didn't know that?
No.
All right. Okay. Well, that's going to be another topic off.
And a very special Jerry episode.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, that's a book that I remember. I think it's been probably yo-yoing for the last 6 years, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, it was super hot, you know, leading up to Logan. And then after Logan, kind of lost everything. Nobody talked about that character. Like, nobody...
Nobody cared.
Yeah.
It got to the point where they put her in a Murder World series with Arcade and the rest of the New Avengers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the Young Avengers, they put her in there with like that and with those characters and stuff. She didn't get killed, but you know the fact that she was had sunk that low that they were putting her in with like what was it? It was a Red Skull's son or some bullshit, whatever that character was.
Sin, probably. Yeah. Red Skull's daughter.
No, it was somebody else. It was like a son. Or, it was a boy, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But more importantly, it's indicative that, you know, the tastes or interests can change, you know, or attention spans.
Back and forth, yeah, up and down.
Especially on a character who isn't a legacy character right now.
That's right. Kill
Shrink. Yeah. So, I say roast the shit out of this one. To me, it don't feel like it needs to be on there right now.
But quick thing. Do you think it's possible she could join the Young Avengers at some point?
Yeah, but I don't think they're gonna see. I don't believe that movie's gonna be made. I believe it's gonna be called. They're not gonna call it Young Avengers because they're not gonna waste
TV series
the Avenger title.
Disney Plus series.
Champions.
Yeah,
Champions.
That's what they're not gonna.
Wait. Oh, okay. Not waste the name. Gotcha.
They've already used Avengers for Avengers.
So and that's a primary. Yeah, that's true. That makes sense.
So when you say Young Avengers, some people think you're trying to appeal to a younger crowd,
right?
But you're not. Young Avengers means they're just younger. But
you don't want to dilute.
Yeah. So I think they go with Champions or they go with what's the other. The other team, isn't there another one? There's the Young Avengers,
the X Men.
No. I'm talking about
the Defenders,
Thunderbolts.
Well, they already got the other. I think they're doing Thunderbolts with the other guys.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
They officially call them the Thunderbolts.
They would do Thunderbolts, mm-hmm. or they would do Champions, but I don't think they'll do Young Avengers.
All right,
Great Lakes Avengers.
So moving on to number seven.
Number seven. By the way, it was Maury Povich you were trying to say earlier.
Or Jerry Springer.
Yeah, either one.
But that's Maury true. Works better, yes.
Right. Yeah.
You
are not the father.
My father. And that's when I see Donald dancing the jig.
Oh, God, yeah. Thought he had knee problems. Nope. Not anymore.
Not when he finds out he doesn't have a kid.
Right.
Number seven. This is an interesting one, but I think it's only a hot book for maybe 6 months to a year at best. And that's Marvel Comics Super Special number 18. First appearance of Indiana Jones in a comic book from 1981.
I mean, it's not a. I mean, I don't know. It's not a book that many people want to have,
right?
Unless you're nostalgic for.
That's what it is. It's a nostalgic pickup.
No, but they're. Well, I'm saying, but the reason why they're put on the list is because they just announced that they're doing a number five, and I think that's what's making the book bump up. But we've had that book many times. And usually the people who buy are more nostalgic because of Indiana Jones.
That's right.
And people think that at some point in their lives, they get Harrison Ford to sign it when they realize he didn't really sign very much anything.
That's anymore. Right.
So for me, I'm going to say it's roasted.
All right. You know what? I think I agree with you, Raphael.
It's definitely a book that, you know, will come and go. You know, it's not really meant to be... It's a flavor of the week.
Right.
That book? You think so?
Yeah, I think it doesn't have legs. I mean, I think it's a cool book, right? Like,
I think it falls under the same nostalgia as a Godzilla number one, Shogun Warriors number one.
Yeah.
I think Voltron number one. I think it'll always...
I think it falls under that nostalgia of...
There'll always be somebody that wants that book. It'll always be a book that people will like. But I don't think it's a book that necessarily is one that's got, like, if you're, the purpose of the top 10 is to invest.
You look at it too, though. Like, this is the magazine form, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, like, for example, Rocket Raccoon, a lot of people prefer the comic book first
Hulk,
appearance.
Hulk, yeah.
Yeah, the Incredible Hulk appearance of Rocket Raccoon over the magazine. Because it's just some people, they just don't collect magazine format. Yeah. So well, to me,
people,
like,
and a lot of people, like New York collectors, you know, people who haven't been collecting for 30 years, mm-hmm. Don't know about the magazine part of it. They know comics, mm-hmm. right? And they walk in and they ask for the first appearance of a certain individual. You know, some people will say, well, if you want a first appearance, this is it. But the magazine is, you know, but the magazines aren't easy to find.
Yeah.
No.
You know? So, but I say, you know, a top 10 should be telling the top 10 comics you should be buying. That's because true. Of future investment for purposes of that nature. So this isn't something that you buy that's going to be continually moving up, you know. Like
a nice blue chip stock.
Yeah, definitely peak.
Future stock.
A year, like 10 months ago, Hulk 180 would have been a top 10. A book you needed to get because mm-hmm. now that book's got steam, yeah. mm-hmm. right? Because of real reasons, right?
Right.
Legitimate.
But this book, I feel, is got two more peaks. This movie,
and then
when he dies.
Right.
Or if Chris Pratt takes over the role, supposedly.
But I do think those cases, like for instance, when Harrison Ford passes away, it's not an investment book, still not a top 10. It's a book you buy if you want to remember Harrison Ford and right. Harrison. But you know,
it's like the Captain EO comic I have, Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. You know, you when you buy a 181, or I'll give for instance, when you buy an ASM 50, you're not thinking of, I'm buying this in case John Romita dies. You're buying this because, you know, Kingpin, this is a character that's going to be around
the MCU. And Vincent D'Onofrio, great actor playing the role.
You know, a really long time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm gonna say roasted.
Yeah.
All right.
Roasted.
Numero sesce. Incredible Hulk, issue 340.
Okay. So this book's tough for me. And I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
A huge McFarlane fan.
Yes, you are.
Right? I've always been. Because I grew up, I came into comics.
Let's explain what the cover looks like.
It's a famous cover. Basically, you see Wolverine and his old brown and whatever gold uniform, and you see the claws sticking out, and you see Gray Hulk's reflection. It's a beautiful cover. It's famous for that. But as far as the story is concerned,
nobody cares about the story. They care about the cover.
It's just a cover.
It's actually a decent story,
though. Yeah. It's not a key. It's a cover key.
I get it.
It's a McFarlane cover key. It's been swiped and homaged
so many times.
It's like that jock book, the detective, the Joker. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. So I came into Spider-Man right around, you know, a little bit before, but mainly during the McFarlane run of him being in Spider-Man. So for me, the book is a book I always want to have in my collection because McFarlane did the cover. Other than that, yes, it's a good read, but other than that, there's nothing more, and it's on the top 10 because of the fact that Wolverine is coming to MCU, so any books that are heat for Wolverine are going to be there. So I'm going to say it's toasty, but a very light toast because it's more of a anything Wolverine is getting hot.
Okay.
Well, I think it's a double threat at the moment. It's got that, what you just talked about, but also the McFarlane signatures, the CGC signing is happening. So all the, I think the deadline was probably a week ago.
The 11th. It was the 11th.
Yeah. So the deadline was recent. Mm-hmm. And so you're getting all those last minute sales. Last minute, I need to get this McFarlane book. I need to buy this book.
That's true. McFarlane's within the last couple months have sold like wildfire just because of that reason.
And they're going to continue because he's going to be appearing at probably the next three cons. Like, I don't think LA Comic Con, but he will be at San Diego again. He will be back in New York because of all the stuff he's doing with Spawn and Batman. So
his toy line.
His new toy line.
He's a busy man.
He just did if you haven't seen it, the new Static figure he did. Pretty fucking badass.
Wow. And this is the 30th anniversary of...
I may purchase that just so my buddy Mr. Cowan can sign it.
Huh. It's interesting how like fast they're putting these out. Like, it's putting Marvel to shame, really, on like the speed of these figures.
Mm. Well, he's... like,
that's not true. I'm going to tell you that because...
Oh, yeah, prove it.
Prove it?
Uh-oh. Debate.
Let me show you right here.
All right.
But no, that's not true.
He showed me his fingers. I don't know what this means.
Don't believe him, audience.
I'm not pulling
I showed him statistics, and he was
what's
wild.
What's not true?
Sensational one. Break it down.
Yeah, go ahead, Marvel boy. Tell me.
Sensational one. Break it down.
Hold on, guys. Is it the fact that he's not putting out them as fast as he says, or he's not doing a better job than Marvel? Which is the one that's not the truth?
Both. Because one, The Marvel Legends line is putting out figures every month. So they keep announcing. Yeah, just like McFarlane. I'm not saying they're faster than McFarlane.
But I think McFarlane's his toy line is hitting shelves faster. McFarlane's putting out, Marvel's putting out new figures through HasLab or that, but I think McFarlane's toys are hitting shelves quicker.
McFarlane's toys, they hit shelves quicker probably because there's less interest as a whole versus the Legends line. The Legends line does really well. And okay. I've gone to several Targets where I can't find a single.
Yeah, but that's where you're mistaken. It's not because they're putting them out faster. It's they're not hitting the stores. So McFarlane's figures are hitting the stores. I'm not saying there's a big buzz to buy it, but they're in the stores. Marvel Legends are having release dates, and the toys just don't show up to the stores. And you're having to buy it. People are buying them directly through Hasbro Pulse and that nature.
They do that, but I think toy hunters are mostly in the realm of Legends. Because if you go to Target, what you find are the ones that nobody wants anymore.
Right. Do you follow Toy Hunter Collective on IG?
No, I don't.
Okay, so that's a very famous, very popular toy collector group of people that either father, son, or that kind of thing. Brothers, I'm not sure. But they talk about sculpting. They talk about swapping, out character heads and things for different bodies and stuff like that. And they used to post about Marvel all the time. It was Marvel, 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 Marvel. I don't think I've seen a Marvel post from them in months because it's been all McFarlane, all DC, all McFarlane, all the time. And that just tells me that the market's shifted some where there is an interest because we haven't seen this type of quality.
It's the stupid – the Marvel's from DC. Marvel made a mistake in the whole no plastic cover, no plastic front. People are not buying some of those figures because of that. And because G.I. Joe is doing the same thing. So I guess Marvel and G.I. Joe, right?
No, they're just the figure sealed inside the
box. It's a cardboard box.
Yeah.
Well, I would think that what that does is it ruins toy hunters.
Right, because they can't
see. But if you're pre-ordering from, say, Big Bad Toy Store, you're pretty confident you're getting the figure that's in the box. If you go to – if you're a toy hunter, though, the problem is because you have figure swappers out there. So they will go and swap out a figure that's in demand and throw – and put in some stupid figure and return the figure and get their money back.
But a lot of people are to the nation where like you get to the store, the case is there, sealed case. Someone cuts it open. They're not buying the figure sometimes because the fact is they can't see the face sculpt. They can't see if the paint's right. So they're having to buy a figure sight unseen. And for some people, some collectors are like, I don't want to get a figure where the face looks shitty.
That is true. That is a situation.
And it's funny how we were talking about a comic and it just kind of evolved into this, which is fine, and this was what the McFarlane cover. Right. So it's funny how McFarlane, just his name, kind of
sparks some debate.
Right. So what do we say on this cover? Do we say roasted or toasted?
I went with toasted.
Toasted.
I'll say toasted.
I think a mild toast.
I agree.
Light brown toast. Light brown toast. Light brown toast.
Lightly toasted.
Yeah, a little golden. All
right, what's the next one?
The next one is another Wolverine book. Number 5. It is Wolverine 88, The First Battle Between Wolverine and Deadpool.
Not a great book.
One of the ugliest covers by
actually, I like the cover. I think the cover is the best thing about that book. I
can't stand that cover. I think it's terrible.
Would you tell that to Adam Kubert's face?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And he would slap you very hard.
Really?
If you asked Adam Kubert himself, he would tell you, given a chance, he would redo that cover.
You know what's interesting? I'm thinking back now since, I'm more of a little more Marvel than DC. I remember this era. A little bit. But back in this era, because again, this is the era I grew up in, and Jarrett would agree with me on this. This is the era, I'm looking at when this came out, December of 94. That was that period of time just after the Image guys left a couple years earlier where Marvel's artwork was going down the tubes. So this does reflect the the lack of quality since, the major 7 guys that used to be around. So it does.
I mean, it is awful. It's like a shadowed red and black cover of Deadpool holding up Wolverine over top of him. And he has 2 katana swords through Wolverine. Wolverine's kind of draped over top of him on the swords.
The book itself.
I think it's okay. That said, the story inside, trash.
Right. But I'm saying is the notion of the of them fighting would be a great story to see them fight in a movie, knowing that neither one of them can die.
Right.
And they cut the shit out of each other up. It would be a great fight scene, right? But like you said, not a good read. I don't think the cover was done very well.
Yeah.
And it's a book that we have seen go up and down every week.
This is something you should sell literally 6 months before the movie comes out.
Oh no. So here this is where I differ on that scenario. I'll give you what.
Tell me.
So I've been hearing a lot about, don't have FOMO to buy books. But I think throughout our lives we've all had a little bit of FOMO at some point. And then people saying, buy what you like, sell a book before the steam goes away. So it all a sense of what kind of collector are you really going to be. Like, for instance, I collect certain books, and I have books in my collections that are not really worth very much money.
But you love the stories.
They're books, the covers, and books I like to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a lot of books that have some value. So I think, in terms of this book, if you're a Wolverine fan and you're a Deadpool fan,
then you hold on to it.
It's good to have in your collection. Plus, you're not going to get rich off this book.
Nope.
If you're a person that's looking to invest in comics, then as soon as that trailer hits, that book pumps up.
You sell. Yes, thank you.
But understand that in any hobby,
any market,
the best way to fund your hobby is to let go of certain books that don't necessarily meet the criteria of what is a keeper to you. That's between, right. Like, I know Shot doesn't sell books very often. But John doesn't always buy shit that he doesn't need in his collection in the first place. So he doesn't have a lot of room. He doesn't buy something and go, why did I buy it? He technically buys what he's looking for.
Sensational One is very meticulous.
Donald does look for books that he knows he's looking to flip to put some money in his pocket to buy that book he really wants.
That's right.
I fall in the line of, I buy books that I really want in my collection, but I also look to kind of upgrade things I have. So I look to sell books that I can move into a better grade. And I'm talking about half a grade. Like, I can go, if I have a 4 and I get into a 4 or 5, I'm happy.
There you go.
I don't need, don't get me wrong, I'd love to have an 8. But
of course.
Sometimes.
The budget may not.
My wallet does not agree.
I'd love to get 8.
Mm-hmm. All day. But my wallet does not, be a high fan of that.
So were we on the next one?
You were toasted on that one?
On the cover with Deadpool and no, we're roasting the shit out of that one. That's roasted.
Yeah, I think that's across the board. That's roasted. Yeah. That's a roasty roast.
Yeah, that needs to just go away.
I think at some point in the future we need to create McKinney's top 10.
Oh shit,
that'd be kind of cool. Make our own top 10 one day.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, let's go on to number 4, and then we'll decide about our own top 10.
Number 4, a classic Silver Age issue, Fantastic Four number 33, the first appearance of Atuma, an Atlantean barbarian. Came out back in the sweet year of our Lord, 1964.
He's not getting his own movie. He's not getting his own Disney Plus series.
He's not going to be a breakout character.
No, I mean, he's a lesser version of M'Baku.
Yes.
And you know, what's cool?
It's a Jack Kirby Stanley book.
Okay,
that's true.
What I'm saying.
That's true.
I do say it's not a toasty for me in the sense, because it should be on top 10. But yeah. I do think out of some of the books that aren't here, it's a nice Silver Age book.
Yeah, it's nice to have.
It's a good book to have. It's a good minor key to have in that box.
If you can have Fantastic Four,
but it's not something that's going to be like, oh, this is my kid's college fund.
No. If anything, it's just nice to have. If you have the first 100 issues of Fantastic Four, it's a nice thing to have.
Look, if you have the first 100 issues of Fantastic Four, you're doing a lot better than most of us.
Sensational One?
Yes, I know somebody that does have one, yes.
Well, okay. I mean, I do too. I mean, he comes here all the time.
Yes, indeed.
What's it called? Big Sean.
He has most. He doesn't have all, but yeah.
So, but I do think this is more, I'm not going to say it's roasted, but I'm not going to say it's toasted. I'm going to just say it's just regular bread.
It's white bread.
It's basically hanging near the toaster, but not going to put it in the toaster.
I took the slice of bread out of the bag.
Out of the bag.
I turned the toaster on.
You're just letting it get stale.
And went back and sat down.
Yeah, you're just letting it get stale. That's what it is. It's stale bread.
So, okay, what? We have a new category.
Stale bread.
I like that.
What's the next
one? All right, wonderful.
Roasted, toasted, and stale.
This is a beautiful key issue.
Number 3.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 2 from Mirage. the first appearance of Baxter Stockman and the Robot Mousers, and the first appearance of the lovely April O'Neil.
I'm going to just say right off the bat, it's going to be nice and toasty. Because it's the first,
of course,
number one, number two book in Kevin Eastman's run. It's a book you see a lot. It's not a book you see really a lot in high grade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're a Turtles guy, you got to have that in your collection. Right. If you're a guy who collects big books,
you better be
there. Got to have it in your collection.
You're right. And for instance, I couldn't afford Turtles number one first print. It's out of my budget now. But I could afford number two.
There you go.
First print.
There you go.
And I could afford it in a decent grade too.
Yeah, it's almost hard. It's almost at a point right now, hard to afford a Turtles one third print. It's getting pretty high.
You're
getting out of the range.
Right.
You know, I have one too, but I'm saying it's at a point where at some point Turtles two is your next big bet.
Yeah.
And you may move into Turtles three, mm-hmm. right? And I do like the Turtles two cover.
It's a nice cover. Yeah.
Number one's kind of my favorite.
You know, you're looking at it, and obviously it came out first. But it has elements of the 340.
It does.
Yeah.
I think it's...
that Incredible Hulk.
It's one of the... I think you find number two more often than number one.
Well,
who's a moron?
The number two was definitely a larger print run.
Yeah, but I mean, you find it in better grades. Like number one...
By then, they already had the second print when number one come out.
So, we're universally toasted on this one, right?
Yes, we're moving on then. We're moving on to number two.
All right, numeral dose. We are going to an issue that Donald has, like, probably 10 copies of, and he's preached the gospel of this book
for a long time.
Well over a decade, and I can't disagree with him, and that is Omega Men, number three, the first appearance of Lobo, a wonderful character.
Roasted.
Absolutely. What? No. No, man.
You agree.
I almost did agree because he got me there. No, this is a toasty book. Lobo is a cool character.
He is. But it's an ugly cover.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
That's true. I agree with you on that.
So I'm gonna go stale bread only because I have no skin in this one. And the fact that I can tell you it's an ugly cover. It's an 80s style character.
Yes.
Big hair.
Kind of a kiss looking character.
And it was never something I really read. So I'm going to bow out.
You bastich.
Yeah. I'm going to bow out.
That's a reference to the comic book, by the way. That's what Lobo would call people, bastiches.
It's a funny book.
It's a funny book
that you would think would go away every so often, but it keeps popping up.
Keeps popping up. And now when Jason Momoa said, "My dream project just landed, I'm so excited, James Gunn, thank you."
But how's that possible, though?
We're all thinking it because he's wearing makeup and shit.
I know.
You can do two characters.
You can, but it's only...
You want Josh Brolin and do two characters in the same universe?
Yeah.
But I don't think he needs that Josh Brolin treatment. Just put some goddamn body paint on him and he's good.
Of course.
He's bigger shoulders.
There's never been a voice of Lobo, right? You never really had a voice. The voice is the one you hear in your head as you're reading.
Right.
I associate the animated series guy, so.
Okay, but what I'm saying is it's going to be the voice. What is his voice? Sometimes the minute Jason Momoa talks, you're either going to be like, "That's horrible," or, "Hey, he did a good job." What if he just
Christian Bales it? Be just terrible.
What about the Bane voice?
The Clint Eastwood
going. Oh, yeah.
It's the kind of off Clint Eastwood.
You not like Bane's voice?
No.
I loved it.
No.
What are you talking about?
Right. I'm Gotham's Reckoning.
Sounds like a Muppet.
You know, it'd be funny if they came out a Bane Muppet.
They need to.
He's in the Muppets.
They need to do a goddamn Bane Muppet.
I'm Sesame Street's Reckoning.
I thought he did a great job.
Yes,
I break you.
Right.
Oscar.
But, you know.
Big Bird, I break you.
You're trashing DC. You're moving DC down.
He beats up Bert and Ernie. we got to do that. Yeah. Oh, man, I'd be laughing for days.
I'm still going to say roasted.
I will say, though, that I think Momoa would do a good job as...
I'm doing toasted. 100%.
I'm mid-toasty.
I could see him doing that. I think it's right up his alley, you know, that tough character who's kind of sarcastic, got a sense of humor. Yeah. I mean, if Deadpool didn't come out first, this guy probably would have been just as good.
Right.
No.
Toasting it. All right. Next one.
All right. Numero uno, number one. This is a very interesting number one. It is Wizard Magazine number one.
Oh. Toasted.
all the way.
Now, this guy is
I think I have one sucking on the exhaust pipe
of McFarlane.
Yeah. No. I know he's got a couple of
This is not a McFarlane issue. This is a thing where it's Spider-Man.
He homaged himself again.
Right. But that's what he, that's the key. But it's tell me not one of you guys at this table did not either A, own this one,
mm-hmm.
have it in your hands at one point,
mm-hmm.
right? This, I mean, I actually have that. I found it a week after the submission for the McFarlane. I finally found it. I looked at it forever. Wow. I finally found it. And I say it's roasted in the sense that it's not a comic. It's not a comic, right? But I say toasted in terms of it's a great cover. It's great art, but I'm going to say roasted in the sense that it's not a comic. That book, once the McFarlane signing dies down, that book's going to come back down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an investment in a sense that's ever going to be brought out again. It just became big again because of the fact that McFarlane's doing the signing. He just did the Comic-Cons too.
Yeah, it's nostalgia again.
No, but it won't re-nostalgia. Yeah. The only reason why it came out of nostalgia was because he just did, number one, he just did the San Diego Comic-Con, he did New York Comic-Con, and then he just anniversaried that number one.
It kind of looks like, if you look at it, it kind of looks like a chicken, kind of, because it's been roasted. This is a roast if I've ever seen one. This is not a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
This is a magazine. This is a...
It's a magazine that has no... It's not like a magazine in terms of like Savage Tales, where it's a comic book magazine.
Right.
This is just a magazine to tell you about upcoming comics.
Yeah.
And books to invest in. Yeah.
Yep. So I'm gonna roast it.
It's a little meta.
I can't toast it. I can't leave it out. It's not stale bread. I think it's just roasted for me.
I will say those are god-awful colors.
Now, would you tell that to the wizard staff and Todd McFarlane's face?
He wouldn't.
Yeah.
Sean's kind of a pussy.
Fuck Gary Bashamus.
Wow.
Yeah, you and your old comic book store buddies, huh?
Wow. Now you're dissing
collusion.
Dissing my childhood comic book shop from back in the day. How dare you?
Yeah, they fucked up the market, man. So they're responsible for the
crash.
What
we can tell you is, we guarantee you, in the next session of this, we're going to have our own top 10. But we prove to you why we have a top 10, and the books that we put on top 10, we can guarantee you are top 10 worthy.
Right. Amazing Spider-Man, or Amazing Fantasy 15, Incredible Hulk number 1. I mean, I'm going...
Soupy 1.
Should they cover all personal collections? That doesn't make sense. Top 10 for a personal collection.
No, we're not bragging.
We're just saying...
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to say...
I know that's hard for you, Doc.
We're going to do top 10 books. We'll do one.
I said Donald first.
We'll come up with top 10 books to invest in.
Yeah, I like that. We used to do that all the time.
And we'll bring up. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go, oh, Hulk 1, which we know for a fact. We'll bring
Action Comics number 1.
Of course.
But
I got 5 copies of this Daredevil issue. I think you guys should invest in it.
Right.
Daredevil 1.
Yeah, exactly. Top 10. Yeah. But with that, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening so much. You can find our audio podcast on all platforms, basically Spotify, iHeartRadio,
YouTube,
Spreaker, Blueberry, Podbean. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts,
Google Play.
Right. You name it. We're on it, basically. If you can't find us, let us know.
You're not looking.
Yeah.
Please subscribe. We'll get on it. Please subscribe. Tell your friends. Leave a like. And always support the Sensational One and Raphael.
Right. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you
at the roasty, toasty, and sometimes stale comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.